We open our Bibles together this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read the first 20 verses of this chapter. And the text for baptism will be the verses 15 through 17. God's Word, the inspired Word of God, Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. So that would be a cruel or coarse jokes, profane jokes, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to mention, to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To that point, we read in this chapter and we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. As we've witnessed the baptism this morning, we hear the Word of God in verses 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Each one of us, as members of the body of Christ, make an impact, make a mark, leave an imprint upon our children. For we are not simply this morning a collection of people, but a body of Christ, spiritually united. And our actions, our words, our conduct leave an imprint upon our children. That's predominantly true of parents, but it's not exclusively true of parents. The Apostle Paul wrote to a spiritual son, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 11, saying, Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my long-suffering, my patience, my love. In other words, Timothy, You know what makes me tick. You have been around me long enough, you've observed me long enough, that you know exactly what I am. And that made an imprint upon the soul of Timothy. So for each one of us, it's true of young couples here, you are making an impact upon the hearts of young people, of young adults. You may not think of that, but you are. You are setting a pattern for them. You are setting a picture for them that they see, that they will follow. Your life is important as a young couple in this congregation. That's true of absolutely every one of us. We know that's true of our teachers in the school. We know that's true of our elders, of our deacons and pastors. We all leave an imprint upon the children, upon the young people. For this is God's purpose. We are one body in Jesus Christ. And as I said a moment ago, that's predominantly true of a parent. For you are the first ones to make an imprint, to leave a mark in your son. That mark that is given to us in the body of Christ stays with us. It stays with us throughout our whole life, especially the mark now that we receive to our parents. The first mark that is placed influences us. And so we say the older we get, we didn't think we were going to say this when we were a teenager or a young couple, but the older we get, the more we realize that our father and mother are sitting on our shoulder, and we think about them more and the way that they brought us up, and we begin to say, "I wish I could ask a few questions of them. I would like to know exactly what they would say about the struggle, the trial that I am in." We leave, God does, but God leaves a mark. This is the covenant. God forms Christian children in the church, in the fellowship of the church, through every member of the church, and especially through you as parents. That means that as a parent, we must be committed to the church of Jesus Christ and its truth. As a parent, we must be a model to our children of faith. We must not be uncommitted. We must not be indifferent. We must not waffle and waver in our spiritual life. We must be whole in, completely in, to the church of Jesus Christ, to the Christian life, to the Christian gospel. And our personal walk, as we're rearing them and as we're teaching them, must be filled with the wisdom of God. That means that we must not be intimidated by this world. We must not be controlled by the culture, by the thinking of this world. And it means also that we must not look only to ourselves, for of ourselves we have no strength. But I mean, we must not pass this off and say, "I can't do this as a parent. Somebody else is better. I'm not very good at this." We must not say that. But we must say what the scriptures said. Say, 1 Corinthians 2:14, "You have the mind of Christ." You do. You may believe that it's far from you at times, but by grace, God's grace does not depart from you. You have the mind of Christ. Jesus said, "For I will give you a mouth, and I will give you wisdom, which all your enemies shall not be able to gainsay or resist." God is in you. And God calls you, as a parent, to put the first marks, indelible marks, upon your child. And so we are called in the text, that's what that word circumspectly is referring to. As parents, we are called to walk circumspectly. Let's follow the verses. The first verse, 15, says we must wise up. The second verse, 16, we must wake up. And then verse 17, we must watch out. We read in the text, "See then, that you walk circumspectly, applied now especially to parents, not as fools, but as wise. The word circumspectly means carefully, looking inside of yourself what you're doing, aware of what you're doing, aware of the impact that your actions have upon your child, to pay attention to the consequences of what you are saying and what you are doing, not to be clueless. We use the expression for circumspectly, don't be as a bull in a china shop. If you want one word corresponding to circumspectly, it would be prudently, not oblivious to what you're doing, but aware of what you're doing and your words and your conduct as a parent toward your children. We read the word see then, and you can read that see to it then. And those words are casting us back into the context. The apostle has begun at verse 8 to tell us that we were sometimes darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. By grace we have been brought into the light of Christ. He went on to say, prove, demonstrate, show how acceptable a Christian life is unto the Lord. Verses 11 and 14 and following, we were told, don't mingle with the works of darkness. Don't act as in the work of darkness in this world. But you have been irresistibly summoned, verse 14, into the light and into the grace of Christ. So see to it then. You get the connection. See to it that you walk circumspectly, because this is true of us by God's grace. The word walk here. See to it that ye walk circumspectly. The word walk in Scripture is not simply our exterior life, what you see of me. That is not my walk. That's what you see. That's the plastic. That's not the real me. Our walk, according to Scripture, is our life as we live it in the heart. That's our walk, our desires, our heart. See that that life that you live from the heart of Christ, see that in that life you are circumspect. You are aware. You are conscious of the impact of your life. Look around yourself. Don't be focused in yourself. But think of what that is doing. And especially as a parent. And why? Why does the apostle exhort this? And why am I picking especially on parent, or singling out parents here? Well, the answer is, for a parent, is because little feet are following you, and little ears are hearing you, and little eyes are watching you, and they are imitating you. If you go back to the first verse of the chapter, the world, of course, does not, it shows its folly that it does not understand even the basics of children. But in verse 1 of the chapter, we read, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The word followers is imitators. Imitators as dear children. The Holy Spirit picks on the one thing that is characteristic of a child in your home. They will imitate you. They play church. You're talking on the cell phone and you don't think they're listening, but then they pick up their play cell phone and they sound just like you. They are impressionable. The world reveals this past week again that in this area of the life of a child, they are totally ignorant. They're concerned about certain books for children. They want to outlaw that. But they're not aware of the fact of what divorce. They don't speak of the fact of what immorality and unfaithfulness will do to the child, the impact of that upon the child's heart. Of parents who are swearing a blue streak, a horrible streak, foul language, using foul language. They're not concerned about that. But the scriptures say, your child is so impressionable. Walk circumspectly. Walk as if you're walking on soft clay, and every foot is making another imprint. And soon in their life, the sun comes and that clay hardens into rock. So walk circumspectly. And then it says, not as fools, but as wise. And the words fools and wise here are equivalent in the context to darkness and light. To walk as a fool is to walk in darkness. It's to walk in the darkness of this world. It's to take the world's standards and the world's goals upon you and the world's evaluations upon you. It's to walk in darkness. Light is the light that is in Jesus Christ. And so the apostle, when he says, walk not as fools, but as wise, he means, remember, you are light in the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess that the Lord is our light and our salvation. We confess that we have been brought out of that darkness of sin and death. Now we are to walk in the light of God's grace. We have been brought, in other words, the scriptures are saying to us, we have been brought, we have been transformed into a different world, a world of the beauty of grace. And so the exhortation is to all of us, and now to us as parents, because that's true, wise up. Wise up. Be circumspect. Be aware of what you're doing, of the impact of your life upon the child. Don't walk in conventional wisdom. Don't walk in cultural wisdom. Don't walk in the accepted wisdom, but walk in that wisdom from which is from God in your parenting. Walk in wisdom. Wise up. The root word, wisdom, be not fools, but be wise. That root of that word wise in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, is the idea of a skilled craftsman, of a man who has been given a talent, who has a skill in his eyes and in his hands. And you can tell from his work that he is wise. He has a craft, crafty in his abilities. And we remember in the Old Testament, the workmen that Moses chose for the tabernacle when he was in the wilderness, God gave to him the pattern for the tabernacle that he wanted them to build, the house of worship. And all the people brought of their stuff so that the tabernacle could be built. And we read in Exodus 36, verse 1, he chose these two men, then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work in all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. The word wisdom there is that these men were not necessarily scholars of ancient languages and of deep sayings, but it's a practical wisdom. These two men had much practical wisdom. They could see, evaluate, and figure out a way to bring that all together into a tabernacle. Think of it. Moses has asked the people of God to bring the stuff that they will need to build the tabernacle. These two men do not have their shop with their skill toys, tools. They don't have a Gimmons to go to. They don't have Lowe's to go to. They're out in the middle of a wilderness, the most desolate place still on earth, something that a crow would not fly over. and they have just gathered from a bunch of former slaves who are walking, trudging through the desert, and they've just come out of Egypt, and the only thing they have are a few trinkets and a few things that they're carrying in a wicker basket and a few shawls, a few things that the Egyptians had handed to them to encourage them to leave. And so spread before them, perhaps in a square lot, are all the things collected, some tin cans, some gold earrings, some badger skins. All of these things are laid out in the desert floor before them. And Moses comes to them and says, here's the plans for the tabernacle. And that was not some army tent, but it was to be made beautiful to the Lord. There would be etchings of palm trees and of lions and of flowers, and there would be lavers made out of brass, and there would be a table of incense, and there would be gold, and there would be the Ark of the Covenant. And that Ark of the Covenant has got to be constructed so properly and so well that it would last for thousands of years. And they're looking at much of it junk. And Moses says, Aholiab, Bezaleel, do you see the tabernacle in that? They looked and said, yeah. Yeah, we do. We do. They had wisdom. They had practical wisdom. Practical wisdom is able to see, to select, to accomplish your goal. They had the wisdom that was from on high. Wisdom is the God-given ability to see life from God's perspective, is to size things up as to what it is and to select the best way to accomplish that goal. They had wisdom to take all of that and fit it together and make the tabernacle of Jehovah. Wisdom is able to see, to understand your calling as a parent, to see the child, to select the right tools to accomplish the purpose. Wisdom is to see what God sees, to size up the situation as God sees it, to select the tools that God has given. And that's a wisdom that is beyond years and experience. Certainly that wisdom descends more and more. We grow in that wisdom. But parents, we gain that wisdom from the Holy Scriptures. This is not simply a wisdom that is natural, but from the Holy Scriptures. And so the best thing that we can do as a parent is our own devotional life with the Bible. That's the best thing that you can bring, that will guide you in parenting, that you bring to your children. And when I say our own devotional life, I'm not saying bring to your child a verse of the Bible or two from time to time, but I'm referring to maturation, that over time the Word of God maturates. Follow now. That over time the Word of God, through the experiences and trials of our life, begins to, as oil, absorb into our souls. Wisdom cannot be had by someone who is impatient. There's no crash course for wisdom. There's no book that can be written, Wisdom for Dummies in 3 Easy Steps. Wisdom is not something that you get painlessly, without effort. You just get it quick. But wisdom is a lifelong humbling before the living God in the Scriptures, that more and more of the Scriptures permeate into my soul and eyes and all that I am. Wise up. Wise up to the Scriptures. Don't be foolish. Be circumspect through Scripture. And then it says to us, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly as a parent. Wise up. But now, wake up. The days are evil. The days are short. In other words, the Scriptures are saying to us as a congregation, but again, specifically to parents, with your job, with your calling, with your children, you need to know the value of time. A fool believes that he's got all kinds of time, that he can do these things. And a fool lets slip through his hands time, that little bit of that sand slips right through his hands. The Scriptures are saying, wake up. Redeem the time. Know the value of time. Right now, it's vanishing. Use your opportunities today in your parenting. Walk circumspectly as a wise father and mother right now. You need to begin right now. And you need to begin right now because time is bleeding out. You don't have much time to put this imprint upon your child. And not only that, the Scriptures say, as time is bleeding out, evil of this world is metastasizing. It's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. The Word of God says two things of our experience concerning time. It's short. It's over quicker than we think. And as it's short, less and less time. We have less and less time. And as there's less and less time, there's more and more evil. It's abundant. Lawlessness, said Jesus, will abound. It's not a fair fight. You have less time to work. And there's more and more evil seeking to prevent that work. So wake up. Use the time. Know the value of time right now in your home. Know that value. A wise person knows the value of time. And Scriptures are saying to us, wake up. The time to influence, the time to teach, the time to mold, the time to impart to that child is right now. The time to help that junior high young girl and director is right now. The time to teach that toddler is today. The time to help that young man is now, when the opportunity is there, the struggle is there. Take the time. Put away anything else. Use the time today. We have never been so short of time as right now. I read a while ago statistics that the average American will spend 6 months of their life waiting at a stop sign or stoplights, 3 years waiting in line, 20 years watching television, and on it went, 3 years in meetings, the average man. Those statistics are no doubt out of date because now we have the cell phone. And that has just about consumed all our time. And we think about it. And we're more concerned about where it is maybe than even where's my child. And it's glued to us. It's not glued just to the hand. It's glued more and more to our hearts. And the Scriptures are saying, wake up. There's a child of yours that is struggling. use the time right now. There's opportunities given to you to bring up your child. Don't put it off for tomorrow. Do it today. The evil of the world is increasing. The scriptures say to us, redeem the time, for the days are evil. The word time here is a Greek word, and it does not refer to the clock that you changed last night. It's not referring to the numbers of a clock or the hands of a clock, but it's not referring to seconds and minutes. It's referring to a season of time. It's referring to a segment of time. It's referring to a period of time, a period in the time of a child, of a person that cannot be recovered if it is lost. We may call it a window in time. A window in time when the heart of the child is open, needy. A window in time when the situation is right for you now to give that instruction. We use that way. I mentioned to you a number of times about the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in the sky, that you could see it on a certain night, and you won't be able to see that again in your lifetime. That's an earthly thing. But here it's spiritual. There are pivotal times. There'll never be that little toddler by your side at home again. They will not be a kindergartner again with the spontaneity and the enthusiasm. Things will change, constantly change in their lives. Each moment in their life, each segment is an opportunity, and it may close tomorrow. And at each stage, you have an opportunity. You have a window. Be wise. Wake up. Don't squander the time. She's at home with you. He's at home with you now before school. Use that time. Don't squander it. Use each time as a, don't fear any time of your children. Be there. Be involved. Be nurturing. Be correcting. Be loving. Be guiding. Use every time. It's always harvest time for a parent. The scriptures say redeem it. And there's the point. To use that time, you have to buy it. Redeem is to purchase. We are redeemed in the blood of Christ. We are purchased at a price. What was that price? He gave himself. Redeem the time, the expenses yourself. The expenses your convenience. The expenses your time. The expenses you. Paul said to the church at Corinth, I am willing to be spent for you. I'm not just willing to spend money for you. A parent is not just willing to spend money for you. I will spend myself for you. The very best teachers that I ever had in my schooling was the teacher who had convinced me that they had time for me, that they were not too busy to answer my question, even though they had already answered that question in the class at least 3 or 4 times. But when finally the light came on and I asked the right question, they took the time to do it again. Take the time to do it again. We work on God's clock. not ours. We work on God's calendar, not ours. You don't set up the teaching moments in your home. They don't come when you have planned them. They don't come in the way you were expecting. God appoints those moments. God appoints the moments of your child's life. You are to spend yourself and be there and continually teach them. Ecclesiastes 1 through 8, to everything there is a season, and to every time there is a purpose under heaven. There is a time for you to discipline. You need to do it then. And there is also a time when you say to them, we'll talk about that later. You need wisdom. You need to use the time. There's a time to rebuke them. There's a time to teach them. Don't squander those times. There's a time, Mom, to play dress up with them, with your little daughter. Use that time. And there's a time, comes very quickly now in this world, to talk to them about their bodies. There's a time to encourage them. You have to have the wisdom to know when they need encouragement, not harshness. And there's a time to scold them. You need to take both times. There's a time to laugh and a time to mourn. There's a time to weep and there's a time to hug. There's a time to cry. There's a time to embrace. And there are no mulligans. You don't get another swing. Use the time today and every day. At a wedding, it used to be, now the pictures are shown, the slides, and they flow along very nice. But it used to be in a projector, the different slides that would come on. And in between each slide, there would be a click. So it would start at a wedding, and you'd have the picture. There's dad holding the little boy or the little girl, and then click, and there he's walking for the first time, and click. And there she is without her front teeth, and then click. There she is riding her bicycle for the first time, click. There he is playing the piano, click. There he is wearing a basketball suit, playing basketball, click. There you are, you're at vacation, click. They're graduating from eighth grade, click. There's a picture there of you teaching them how to drive the car, and there's fear in your eyes. Click. They have the gowns on in Covenant, and they're graduating from Covenant. Click. They're with their friends. And then finally, there they are in church, wearing a suit and a beautiful white wedding dress. Click. It's over. I know it's not over. They're married. It's done. Your time is done. Redeem the time. Capture every moment for faith, trust, godliness, conviction. Because the days are evil. And then the Bible tells us in the last verse, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It simply means, beloved, I said, watch out. Wise up, wake up, watch out. That is, constantly we must be watching out that we discern what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord here is not his decretive will. It's not necessarily that we're trying to figure out what he has eternally ordained. Yes, that might come into our parenting as well. What is the child suited for? What is going to be their calling? What are they going to do in this life? Who are they going to marry? Yes, those are important things. But it's not talking about that. It's talking about the will of God's precepts. It's talking about his commandments. Be very wise all the time that you are continually seeking out the will of God, that we are imparting into our children this desire. What does God want me to do? Not what college and so on right now, but how does God want me to live? Watch out that you teach them the will of God. What is the will of God for them as a toddler and their will? What is the will for them as a kindergartner, a first grade, a junior high, a high school? What does God say is the good way, the right path? Lay that out to them. Watch out. Continually teach them those things. Parents, all of us, let us walk circumspectly. Let us wise up with the Word of God. Let us wake up. And let us watch out for that will. You have been appointed to be the guardian of his soul. I was going to say that the greatest print that comes down on his soul will be from the two of you. That's probably true, but we know that there's other things, marriage, people, who also make a powerful imprint upon our life. But I can say without fear of any controversy, you are the first ones to be used of God to put an impression on his soul, on his life. You're the first. Everybody else will come after you. The print that you put down on him must be the print of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your calling. We can't do that of ourselves. We can be used of God to do that. God will do that through you. Depend on him. By his grace, you are the ones who will put that print upon him. May God bless his word to us this morning. Amen. Father, we have spoken not the half of the brilliant truths of the Scriptures. We pray that thou wilt arrest our hearts, that thou wilt give us to walk circumspectly, that we may examine what we're doing and seeking always to do thy will. For this will be the way of peace. Bless us in our parenting. Encourage us. Make us diligent. Make us aware. Give us to redeem the time. Take away all that was set amiss. And by the Holy Spirit, write upon the fleshly table of our hearts thy precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.